CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my colleague Liz Peek, who writes at The Hill, a columnist, Fox News, a columnist, and much on Fox Business, to comment on business, the American economy. The perception of the American economy is everything. Liz, the inflation bogeyman was here and then ran away or is hiding behind that chair over there. I can't be sure. But in any event, it appears that the exuberance demonstrated by the American consumer is now accepted in the marketplace. We do have the lingering matter of job openings that are not being filled, perhaps because the unemployment checks are generous, perhaps because people have child care, perhaps just in general people are looking for a better job and not committing themselves at first. However, overall, the bigger picture, do you expect this moment of peace and growth to continue? Are we now back to where we were in the winter of the first quarter of 20 before the pandemic? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. I think there are so many signs that our economy is roaring ahead. And I would point to confidence, even though consumer confidence took a little bit of a hit last month. Essentially, people are optimistic and upbeat. CEOs are optimistic, meaning that they will be continuing to try to hire workers and invest. I think the country is poised for a dramatic period of growth. We've already seen some of it, but that will continue into the next two quarters, John. That doesn't mean the stock market won't take a hit or two as we approach months where a lot of people are expecting the Fed to start unwinding some of its monetary largesse, which has really been very helpful to stock markets and asset prices in general over the last couple of years. This is not new, but it is now, I think, with this recent inflation scare, definitely, policy experts on both sides of the aisle are beginning to say, why do we need to continue the Fed purchasing of $120 billion in assets every month? Isn't that excessive? And I think the Federal Reserve is going to have to respond to that. We've seen 1 month of prices going up. The next reports are going to be worse. We know that because there have been an awful lot of companies raising prices in recent weeks in response a little bit to the prices that have already been going up. You know, as commodity price increases go through the system, you've seen more consumer prices also increase, and now wages are increasing. So you're going to see some pretty bad inflation numbers over the next month or two or three. And I think the Fed is going to have to respond to that. Every time we get what's called a taper tantrum, people are very concerned about whether it's long lasting. What does it mean to asset prices going forward, including stock prices? So I would divorce a little bit, enthusiasm for the economy and for S&P earnings, the company earnings going forward, because all that looks brilliant, looks better than expected constantly. And by the way, partly because it's not just the United States that's doing so well. Europe is also chiming in, and we do have this, except with the exception of a couple of countries like Japan, seems like a synchronized global recovery, and that's incredibly important. And by the way, the dollar has been sinking. So that inflates S&P earnings even more. So all of that is intact. Most reviews of stock price histories show that stock markets continue to do well as long as earnings grow. And that's certainly the case over the next couple of years. But we will have some hiccups, I'm pretty sure, as the Fed begins to lay the groundwork for cutting back its monetary excess.
I hear much about the supply chain, Liz, much about it, because of the container ships that are backed up or that you can't get a TEU, 20-foot equivalent unit, that container. You can't get one, and if you do, you have to wait for the empty container to come back from America. In other words, there's disruption because we're coming out of the pandemic so quickly. That must be contributing to the higher prices. That must be contributing to the empty shells. And not just that they didn't produce enough, it's that the container ships themselves are out of order. East Coast, West Coast, Gulf of Mexico. That will take time. And it will show up in the unpredictable statistics, I'm told. This is what I read. Does the market account for that, Liz? Are we going to see a market turning on a dime between now and Christmas time every time there's a report that is inconsistent with rosy scenario?
Well, I think inflation is a big concern. All kinds of surveys have shown that investors are really focused on it. And here's the thing, John, what you are describing is what most economists are suggesting is at the heart of this inflation issue. And it is an issue because prices went up last month twice the rate they've gone up in decades. So this is not of our imagination. It's actually happening. And the response from the so-called experts is that it is temporary because of supply chain hiccups, because you're looking at comparisons with really a deflationary period, brief though, important period last year during COVID, et cetera. What I'm worried about is we've never been here before. We have never seen the kind of federal stimulus that we've seen over the last, 15 months, plus incredible monetary easing. We just don't know what the impact of that is. And I think if the Fed officials who've been coming out and making all kinds of comforting noises were honest, they would admit that. We don't know where we are because, you know, we are spending money, trillions of dollars. The numbers have become almost meaningless to most people because we can't get our arms around what $1 trillion looks like. But this is the new normal, that we're spending trillions of dollars above already inflated budget. So, you know, I really question whether the Fed really is able to analyze the outcome of all this. And when I say so-called experts, I'm not just being snarky. You and I have talked for a solid year about how the experts have been wrong about the economy, constantly underestimating the ability for this economy to power through COVID and now to really take off. That's where these supply chain shortages have come from, is because corporate CEOs, aided and abetted by all the economists in the world, were completely wrong about the economic impact of COVID. And by the way, it's not just the consumer impact. Look at the front page story today in the New York Times about how states don't know what to do with the $350 billion that the American Rescue Plan is sending their way. Many of us wrote and talked about that $1.9 trillion Democrat-only passed bill that was signed away in March as being excessive, as being unnecessary. Look, the states don't even need that money. I can guarantee you consumers, many consumers don't need that money. Consumer net worth is up trillions of dollars from last year, and that's partly what is sparking this giant comeback in the economy. So I'm a little, I guess, color me skeptical that the pundits, the analysts, the economists who are supposed to be making all these decisions really kind of have all the evidence they need or no. We are in truly uncharted territory. People have talked about that in the past. We've all talked about that when some little thing is off. These are big things that are off historical norms. I think everything looks great. That's what the market is telling us, certainly. I just think we have to watch very carefully what these inflation numbers look like.
I go to the Wall Street Journal reporting about the housing market. Home price growth climbed in March to the highest level in more than 15 years. Strong demand outweighed the housing supply. Robust home buying demand, it goes on to say, driven by ultra-low mortgage interest rates and a shortage of homes for sale, have pushed prices rapidly higher in recent months. There were 1.07 million homes on the market at the end of March, down 28.2% from a year earlier. Liz, this looks like a bubble. That's what it looks like. I grew cautious about housing. What was that now, 12 years ago? We called it the Great Recession, something
yeah.
like that. This demand for housing no longer is consistent with just saying people are fleeing the cities because of the pandemic. The vaccine is here. All the rest that you've mentioned is a product of the vaccine giving us confidence again. to go back to work, to go back to the economy.
Sure.
What about this housing bubble? Is this created by the Fed's reluctance to step in and stop buying our debt?
Well, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing is basically engineering mortgage rates and other long-term borrowing rates lower. And so at some point, people are going to say, well, wait a minute. If the end result of this is housing prices rising at such a level that we can't afford them, what good are low mortgage rates? I mean, you're basically taking money from one pocket and putting it in the other. So, again, I think some of these policies were certainly well-intentioned. They've had a very salubrious effect. We've seen incredible growth and snapback. But I think it's time to reassess some of this, and I think the Fed is doing that. I can't imagine in the next 2 months they aren't going to signal cutting back on these asset purchases because, as you just pointed out, I think the unintended consequence of them could be pretty expensive. So, look, I think there's a lot of moving pieces right now. Consumers are part of the housing price bubble is because stock prices are high. That gives people a lot of money to spend on housing. And I agree with you. It is not just people fleeing the cities, although I think that really has been a pretty big factor in some markets. I think it's also because we underinvested in housing for a long time. Remember, there were a lot of influential pieces written about how the millennials were never going to own a home. They certainly weren't going to move to the country. They were urban dwellers, and they would be buying apartments, if anything. But they also liked the sort of sharing economy concept of renting versus ownership. I think there was a long period after the great housing crash, 2008-09, when people did not regard housing as a safe asset. I think that has reversed, and people are now more confident that they'll make money buying a house, and that's probably spurring the buying as well.
Elizabeth Peake. She's a columnist at The Hill, as well as Fox News, much on Fox Business. We're going to turn to the Republican Party and the primaries when we come back, and the former president's opinion of the primaries going forward. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.